Well, we are just days away from what could be a cessation of fighting in Syria. The Syrian government and the main opposition group have accepted the terms of a ceasefire deal that is supposed to take effect on Saturday. Now, ISIS and the al-Nusra Front, two terrorist organizations, have not signed on. And in fact, the Syrian government says it plans to continue striking those groups. But the ceasefire is a glimmer of hope in a civil war that has been raging for nearly 5 years and has cost more than 250,000 lives. Joining us now is Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He's with us from Norman. Joshua, your reaction, first of all, to this ceasefire deal. Do you believe that it'll happen?
Well, it's quite possible that some limited ceasefire will happen in certain sectors of Syria, and in particular around Aleppo. That's been the place where we've seen these terrible footage of hospitals being bombed, refugees stacking up at the Turkish border, and the United States is under tremendous pressure to get something going because their Geneva process of peace negotiations fell through, and there's been tons of pressure. The context for this is that both Turkey and Saudi Arabia, two close allies, have been demanding that that the United States do something. And the United States doesn't want to have more arms go in. Even the Saudis have even threatened to send some surface-to-air missiles, which could complicate things quite a bit. So I think the United States is telling Russia, you've got to get something going. So there could be a limited ceasefire.
But there are questions about who would enforce or how anyone would be able to enforce a ceasefire and whether the government of President Assad will actually stop attacking the rebels.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the problems are going to be in the details here because there are 1,500 militias working in Syria, according to the CIA. Each one of them has to sign on officially to this agreement. Now, the main opposition group includes a few of the militias, but most of them aren't part of it. So they're going to have to officially ask to be part of the ceasefire if they want to be included. And it doesn't include Nusra, which is the al-Qaeda wing in Syria. And this is a big militia. It owns a lot of territory, and it works hand in glove with many of the militias, with some of the militias that have said that they want a ceasefire. So let's say Assad is approaching a city like Jisr al-Shakhura, Idlib, at the center of rebel territory. He could ask all the militias who have agreed to the ceasefire to lay down their arms as he drives his tanks forward to destroy al-Qaeda. And that would put them in a very difficult situation.
So what do you do about that then? If you've got Nusra and ISIS not taking part in this, how do you solve this conflict, even if you have a ceasefire between Assad and the rebels, without dealing with ISIS and Nusra?
That's been the U.S. problem all along. You know, the U.S. has been trying to arm moderates without arming the extremists, and yet many of the moderates work in the same trenches with al-Qaeda and other things. And it's bedeviled America, and it's going to bedevil any attempt at a ceasefire.
You know, the U.S. has been complaining about Russia's entry into this conflict in Syria. Russia has been bombing there. They say they're bombing ISIS, but of course people have also pointed out that they've been bombing some rebel-held territories as well. But do you think that this ceasefire would be happening without Russia's entry into this? Was Russia's entry a game changer?
Russia's entry is a total game changer, and the real dilemma that presents itself to the United States today is, does it step aside and allow Russia, which backs Assad, to try to win this and destroy the insurgency in Syria and reimpose its government over Syria? Or does the United States support Saudi Arabia and Turkey's efforts to send in more arms to stop Russia from getting a win and to keep the stalemate going forward in Syria? And that's something that I'm sure has everybody in Washington scratching their head, because you could argue, as the Russians do, look, this insurgency is going on for 5 years. It's not going to win, and it's full of extremists. Let Assad win, and then you'll get some kind of security. The rebels say Assad will never bring security, and he probably can't win. The Russians are bad people. The Iranians are bad people. You don't want them in this architecture, this new security architecture of the Middle East. America should be the big superpower who pushes them out. Saudi Arabia and Turkey, America's allies, don't want them in there. And Obama's letting everybody down by not getting in there and pushing Russia and Iran out. And that's the, you know, those are the arguments of the two sides, and nobody really knows how it'll work out. But it looks like President Obama, and in fact, all the Republican candidates, do not want to really get involved in this Syrian civil war. They're bombing ISIS, but they don't want to try to adjudicate all the other militias.
If the ceasefire holds, do you think Assad stays in power?
Oh, absolutely. Assad is in the driver's seat right now. He's been gaining territory back from the militias, you know, town after town. Every few days, there's a new map, and his forces are moving forward.
That's Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma, talking with us about the ceasefire deal that has been agreed to, at least between President Assad and his forces and the main rebel groups in Syria. It's supposed to start this Saturday. As we said, it does not include ISIS or the al-Nusra Front. Joshua Landis, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for asking me on, Jeremy.